In 1851, at the age of 20, John Loughborough was married to Mary J. Walker, who loved the Lord with all her heart. The young couple settled in Rochester, where John became a salesman for Arnold's patent window sash locks. On weekends, he preached in surrounding churches.
John, what's got you in such a brown study?
I'm so confused, Mary. Most Adventists teach that the earth is the sanctuary that was cleansed at the end of Daniel's 2300-day prophecy, but...
But what?
If that were so, the Lord should have come to cleanse it. So what and where is the sanctuary? And I haven't been able to find any Bible authority for keeping Sunday holy. And why aren't we preaching the third angel's message?
You do have a lot of questions.
Worse, the last time I tried to preach on the law, I got as far as Matthew 5:18.
Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled.
That's right. As I was reading those words, it was as though someone spoke inside my head. Heaven and earth have not passed away yet.
John!
Mary, I can't preach on that subject again until the law question is clearer in my mind than it is now.
In September 1852... Mr. J.T. Orton, one of John's friends, came to him about a meeting to be held that night in Rochester.
Your companies in Palmer and Clarkson have joined these Seventh-day people. It's your duty to go to that meeting over on Mount Hope Avenue tonight and get them out of that Saturday-keeping foolishness.
It certainly seems they desperately need guidance.
The minister tonight, J.N. Andrews, will give the congregation an opportunity to ask questions. You get your texts ready to show them that the law is abolished.
I had prepared a subject, but my mind has turned to the subject of the texts supposed to teach that the Ten Commandments were abolished at the cross.
Do you have your list of texts, Brother Loughborough?
Yes. See, my first one is Colossians 2:14-17.
My first text is Colossians 2:14-17.
He's using my own text.
Let us read. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against them. In summary, we see that when Christ offered up his life on the cross, these ceremonial sacrifices ceased, and the laws pertaining to them were, in figure, nailed to the cross.
He explained it very well. I guess I'll have to cross that text off my list. But wait till I throw Ephesians 2:13-15 at him.
Next, let's look at Ephesians 2:13-15.
He's doing it again.
One by one, Loughborough had to cross all the texts off his list, as J.N. Andrews clearly showed they did not prove that the law of God had been changed. After the meeting, John saw his old friend Father Lamson, and the older man threw his arms around him.
Brother John, doesn't that subject look pretty clear?
Yes, it does.
You'll have to keep the Sabbath, won't you?
Brother Lamson, unless I can find something stronger than what I'd supposed to be true, I shall have to keep the Sabbath.
Loughborough joined a Bible study class taught by John Andrews, and on the fourth Sabbath after hearing the message, he publicly took his stand. J.T. Orton also accepted the Sabbath. It was at this time that John met James and me, and we quickly became close friends. At first, John did so well selling Arnold's window sash locks, he soon saved $35. After he began to keep the Sabbath, his sales suddenly fell off, and his savings melted away. He was impressed that he should spend all his time doing the Lord's work, but he resisted, even though I warned him against this course.
John, can you let me have some money? I must go to town and buy some matches and thread.
This silver 3-cent piece is all I have in the world.
John!
Get only 2 cents worth of matches and thread. Bring me back 1 cent so we shan't be entirely out of money.
What in the world are we going to do?
I believe my business doesn't succeed because I've neglected my duty. I must give my whole time to preaching.
But preachers don't get a salary. How will we be supported?
The Lord will open the way. I don't know how it'll be done, but the way will open.
Excuse me, John. I'm going to my room to pray.
Good morning, sir. What can I do for you?
Mr. Loughborough, my doctors told me to go to Ohio for my health. I want to take a small business with me to meet expenses. I was recommended to you to purchase some of Mr. Arnold's patent sash locks. I want $80 worth of locks.
Just like that? And your commission is $26?
Yes. God opened the way. Mary, you have tears in your eyes.
Oh, John, I have to go back to my room to thank God for sending help.
It was now December 1852. John prepared to go preach wherever he was sent. He used his $26 commission to buy firewood and provisions for the home while he should be away. The next Sabbath, there was a gathering of Sabbath keepers in Rochester. In the meantime, 40 miles away, Hiram Edson was having an unusual experience at morning worship.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For... What was that?
What was what, dear?
I just had the strangest impression to go to Rochester. It was almost as though... someone spoke to me. Go to Rochester. You are wanted there. Now, why should I want to go to Rochester?
Why don't you pray about it?
I will. If you'll excuse me, I'll go out to the barn right now and pray.
You've prayed several times today, Hiram. Have you come to any conclusion?
Is my clothing in a condition to leave? It's my impression I'll be gone several weeks.
I'm way ahead of you, my dear. I've had an impression you'd be traveling soon, so I got all your clothes ready. You can leave this evening as soon as Sabbath is over. If you take the train, you should get to Rochester about 9 p.m.
Brother Edson, how good to see you.
Brother White! I didn't expect to come to this little meeting, but I've been impressed so strongly all day that, well, here I am. What do you want of me?
Well, we want you to take old Charlie Horse and the carriage and take Brother Loughborough around on your 6-week circuit in southwestern New York and Pennsylvania. Get him started in preaching the third angel's message.
This was the first of many preaching tours John Loughborough would make as a Sabbath keeper. During his frequent absences, Mary labored to bring the Sabbath truth to neighbor women, and when John returned, they would discuss their individual experiences.
You know, Mary, I'm concerned about people who blindly follow every impression. It's dangerous.
I feel a story coming on. What happened on the trip to arouse this concern in you?
Well, one night I lodged with a family where the husband felt impressed that the Lord wanted him to be a preacher. He's a good singer and likes music.
And?
That evening, he sat in an easy chair with his feet up, singing, "We'll have nothing at all to do but to march around Jerusalem when we arrive at home." And all this time, his wife was splitting the firewood to cook supper.
John! Well, what did you do?
I took the axe from her and cut the wood myself, of course.
Well, what did your host say to that?
Oh, he never even noticed. The true Christian must reject every impression that's not in harmony with the teachings of God's Word and the Spirit of Christ. Those who follow impressions blindly are in danger of being deceived by Satan and led astray.
In 1853, John spent some time in Michigan with us. In 1854... he participated in the first tent meetings there, And it was there he became one of the first ministers ordained in what would become the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. But there was no dependable income for the preachers, and life was grindingly hard. Then, in the fall of 1854...
Mary, I've just received this letter from John Andrews. He says about 30 Adventists have moved to Waucon, Iowa, in response to a call made in the Review.
Hmm.
There's a great need for workers out west.
Is he suggesting we come?
Yes, and he says they won't have to depend on contributions for their living expenses. John's working in a store. He's been very ill. And the rest plan to raise crops to support themselves.
That sounds like a good idea.
It does indeed. Contributions have been scarce. It'd be good to have a real income and still be able to preach the word.
I think we should go.
So do I.
On October 4th, 1856, the Loughboroughs and Ortons left Rochester, New York, traveling by lumber wagon, lake steamer, freight train, and wagon once again. They arrived in Waucon, Iowa, November 20th, ready for a new phase of service to the Lord. But this experience would prove to be far different from what they had expected.